Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody loves love.
How are you?
Shalom, everyone. Shalom, 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 and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, your host, as well as your servant, Sister Georgia. Today, family, it's the 16th of January, 2014. We're getting ready to return to our Father's Word. We're going to start a new series, and this is going to be a lengthy series, but it's going to encompass a lot of the things that are spoken of in Scripture pertaining to those of our Father, the children who belong to Him, versus the children of disobedience, wickedness, or those who are led by the serpent seed teaching. Okay, we're going to make a distinction so that when we go through Scripture, you can pick out where it won't say those of the serpent seed, but it'll be evident to you because we're going to go in Scripture, take our time with it, link everything back and forth. We're even going to go to the mark of Cain. We're going to link back what was the mark of Cain throughout Scripture that our Father actually got us because of our disobedience, and it was to what the mark of Cain had that we were thrown out among the other nations for chastisement. If we don't figure out what this is, how can we get things right? Well, you're going to find out. You're going to find out why is it that we had our father warners in the beginning in Genesis that there would be enmity placed between two children there in Genesis 3:15. Why is it that we're warned, or not even warned, when you read the scripture, you can see how there's certain who have rose up in Israel that keep going backwards, causing other people to err. But many times, the Most High showed you who these people were by destroying them. Then we get into the book of Kings. When you read the book of Kings, you know that he had split all Israel into two halves. One was the southern kingdom, the other one was the northern kingdom. Now, the southern kingdom is where he had made the covenant that the lineage are the child or thy sons, the word is the same, that through David's lineage, Yahushua would come and he would be that high priest, okay? He would be the king of kings, as they like to say. But through both of the lineages, I should say both of the kingdoms, both of them did err, according to the word. Something led them to err. It's the same thing that Yahushua came to speak to his people about. When he came, he said, will I find faith in the end? Because the people still didn't hear the truth. But John the Baptist, so did, well, the prophets definitely told you about him. John the Baptist told you about him. Yahushua told you about him. Paul told you about him. Many of the other apostles told you about him, that there'll be certain men who are going to creep in. Men means a person, not necessarily a man, but certain would creep in unawares, and they would be of the serpent seed, basically, is what it's telling you. They're going to try to pervert the truth. They're going to come and tell you not the Father's word. They're going to come and make you more children of the devil than they are. They're going to block the way of the kingdom. We're going to read how you can spot them in Scripture. We're going to link and tie everything in really nice from the beginning to the very, very end in Revelations for you. Got to know which ones they have their descendants here today because Yahushua said that was a generation of them. And we first read about the first when we read about Cain. But they're still here today, and we were warned. Many people, they don't know the difference. But see, there's a distinct difference between those who go into the way of Cain and those of Cain. And that's where we want to make the difference so that the ones who are possibly under some of the descendants of Cain will know what they should be looking for. Because we're going to read it in our Father's Word. We're just going to precept it. Those of Cain, they will not tell you to understand Genesis correctly. They bring a message and they say faith and they say spirit, but what they teach is flesh, and that's how you know. You should know them by their fruit. The amazing thing for most of this is they're reading out of the same book we're reading out of. But see, if you don't study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, but rightly dividing the word, you're not going to understand when that little bit of leaven's been tossed in, if you're not operating at the Spirit. So, like I said, this is going to be a very, very lengthy series. The title is Serpent Seed. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. And that meaning needs to be brought to the table. So through this lesson, we're going to show you those of the Father and those not of our Father. Okay, the sons of the Most High and the sons of the devil. You see, they haven't gone anywhere, family. They have not gone anywhere. So I want to take the time to go through this material, and prayerfully everyone will start to understand. I'm going to take my time, but you got to be ready to learn. When you come here, be prepared to open up your scriptures and read with me. Okay, you got to read, you got to take your time, and if you miss a lesson, go back and catch it before the next one. Stay caught up. Okay, stay caught up. This is going to be both milk and meat. I'm going to do some reviewing. I'm going to give you some more new precepts. I'm going to give everyone the understanding just by reading the Father's Word. Okay? So like I said, if you want to know the truth and you're here to learn the truth, come as a child, as the Father says, to the Word. You know, many believe that they have the meat, they have all the knowledge, but they really don't. One way or the other, they have either fallen into the lies of this world or they have fallen into the lies of those who are claiming to be Yahuda, those who are claiming that they are teachers, but they're not. They are from the synagogue of Satan. That scares people when I say stuff like that, but it's all in the scripture. You just don't know what it's talking about, and that's what I want to bring to the table. We're going to take a look at this, and we're going to show you from the very beginning we were warned. All evidence is right before our face. If you understand, taking time to ask the question, okay, if this was done, why was it done? You know, because we got to first fight the lies of this world telling us one thing, then we come into finding out we're Hebrews by those who tell us we're Hebrews, but none and behold, they can give us the flesh word knowing that, yes, we're Hebrews according to the word, but then everything else gets leavened. A little bit of truth there, but there's some leaven. Okay, let's take that leaven now and go to the next lesson. Leaven. Oh, this is good, but that's leaven. So our people are led astray. They're led astray, and they don't even know why, but it's told to us what we should be looking for. We're going to get to that. I just want to make mention of that. This is what this lesson is going to be about. Be prepared to do a lot of reading with me. Be prepared to really, really take time to understand. Go through all of the lessons in sequence. Don't miss one. Okay? Today's is going to be a very basic outline of what the Father is looking for, what he wants his children to do, what didn't his children do, why did his children get separated into two kingdoms, why is it that we see that the northern kingdom, which is sometimes called Ephraim or Israel, why did it seem like every king do everything that was total opposite of what the Father wanted his people to do? Why is it that even backsliding Judah fell? Came back right towards the very end of the book of Kings, but they fell. By the time we get to the new covenant and Yahushua is here, well, none of us, we didn't get into the kingdom. What went wrong? What was the problem? What was Yahushua speaking over and over and over to our people? Today, I see our people still don't get it. This is a spiritual walk, family. It's always been a spiritual walk, by the way, but it's a spiritual walk in its end time, especially. So we're going to take this, like I said, family, we're going to take it, do a lot of reading. I pray everyone is up for the reading. I actually switched my game plan of how I was going to do this lesson because I'm allowed the Spirit to flow through me, and we're going to get the true understanding how the Father wanted me to do this lesson. So I ask everybody, we're going to begin as soon as we say our prayer and just ask for a blessing over this lesson. We're going to be hitting Romans. So everybody can switch over to Romans chapter 2. That's where we're going to be at. But I'm going to go into first giving honor, giving glory, giving thanks to our Heavenly Father, Yahuwah. Now, I do have a hand up. I'm going to check that hand out before I get started all the way. I'm not sure who this is. Let's see. I'm opening up a mic real quick. Hold on, family. Area code 916, Shalom.
Shalom.
Okay. Hello, who's this? Hello.
It's me.
Hi, Sister Cookie. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Okay, you sound kind of down. you sound kind of down, sister.
Are
you all right? Okay.
I'm just listening.
I'm going to put you back on park because when I said there's a lot of scripture, there really is. And I really want to make sure everybody's getting this because this is like a review with new stuff, new information. So I'm going to put you back on practice.
I was just listening. I was just saying hi.
Okay, I thank you for calling in, but I want to jump right in it. Okay, sister?
Okay.
All right. I'm putting you back on hold for a little bit. Now, everybody go ahead and go to Romans chapter 2. But first, let's give our Father thanks before we get started. Everyone, please lift your hands with me. Hallelujahua. Father, we come today before you, regardless that we are scattered. We are in the land of our oppressors, which we were scattered across the four corners of the earth. Father, we are trying our best to do well, as Jeremiah says we should while we're in captivity. We are seeking your face, Father, and we are also watching out for those lying prophets. Father, we ask that you edify our spirit, give us more of your riches, which is wisdom and knowledge, so that when we go through your word, we are more edified in the spirit and we can see clearer. Father, we ask all those who are newly coming to our lesson that they also be blessed with the truth of your word. Father, I ask a blessing over me, over my mouth, allowing your spirit to flow. Father, we thank you and we praise you for giving us this love letter, which was preserved for our people so that they can get the truth from the worldly lies. Father, we thank you for each and every family member who is seeking your face, and we thank you for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, who are striving to get the truth of your word. Father, we say hallelujah. We say we love you, Father. Thank you for being long-suffering with us. Thank you for your mercies and your grace. Thank you for letting us know that we will be regathered and be one with you and Yahushua. Father, we just say hallelujahua in Yahushua's set-apart name. All right, let's get started. Let us get started. Like I said, I'm allowed the set-apart spirit to flow. Now, you guys, hold on to Romans 2. I'm just going to read something real quick. I did want to read this first, but you don't have to turn there right now. When you go to, you can if you want to. I don't want to tell you not to do it. But when you go to Romans 11, I just want to read one little quick part for you. Like I said, I did not have this. I had a whole other lesson planned, but I'm going to switch it around because I think this is the best way to do it. When you go to Romans 11, I'm just going to read the first probably like six verses, okay? The first six verses. All right, let's get there. Romans 11, verse 1. This is Paul. Paul is speaking to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's speaking to the Gentiles. He says, I say then, hath Yahuwah cast away his people? Yahuwah forbid. He's letting us know, for I also, Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Yahuwah hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to Yahuwah against Israel, okay, against Israel, saying, and this is the northern kingdom, Yahuwah, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thy altars. I am left alone, and they seek my life. The northern kingdom want to seek Elijah's life. He says, Elias. Let me shut up for a second. I hate when they do this to these words. Hold on. You know what? I'm going to do something, family. I'm going to do something real quick. I want to check something out. Because I believe Elias is, I want to say, I know that both Elijah and as well as Isaiah, but I think this is Elijah. Let me just go there. I want to double check it before I open my mouth. Give me a second. Some of you may know it already, but I always get confused when you go from the Greek to the Roman, or from Greek to Hebrew, because a lot of these names, you would think they're talking about two totally different people, and it's the same person. So I'm just going to quickly get what this name is. I believe it is Elijah, but let me just check it out. Yeah, if it's the Baal worship, it should be Elijah. But let me just go. Take me a couple seconds. I'm almost there. Because when you get to the Greek is 2243, and it's Elisha. That's why I want to make sure before I went any further. Okay, sorry about that, family. But I gotta make sure everything is sound with the word. So Yahuwah has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture says of Elisha? How he maketh intercession to the Father against Israel, saying, Father, they have killed thy prophets. What prophets? Well, the ones by the Most High, okay, sent by the Most High. They have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, because remember, they were idol-worshiping family. They have digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what said the answer of Yahuwah unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 of my people. They say the word men. You're going to hear me put in words that should be there, because I'm reading it that way, because many people don't understand the way the scriptures are put together. So you're going to hear me say, sometimes they put the word men in there, you're going to hear me say the Hebrews, so everybody get it. I don't want no division. When I read, I want understanding. Okay, so you're going to hear me say these things, but if you're opening up your scripture, you know what I'm talking about. That's what it says. That's what it means if you look it up. So let's go there. He says, in verse 4, but what said the answer of Yahuwah unto Elijah? I have reserved to myself 7,000 of my people who have not bowed down the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time, now remember we're reading out of the New Covenant with Paul. He says, even now, and I can tell you, even now, because this is our people, this is nothing here is changing. The scriptures are repetitive. The same stories we read about, it happened here, it happened here, it happened here. At the end, when the siege of Jerusalem took place, well, that's the last scattering. Everybody's in the place of their captivity still today. Because if you're a Hebrew Israelite, we're not in our set-apart land. We're not in there. Okay, so he says in verse 5, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, I want to stop for a second, because that was something powerful that was said, and I'm stopping on purpose because when we get ready to link up precepts, going back to Genesis, going back to what the mark is, understanding what Revelation is speaking of, understand what happened in the Old Covenant. A lot of it said right here, nobody gets it. So I'm going to pause here for a second. We're going to go back just a little bit. Pay attention. It tells us when Elijah was going out there to speak to the northern kingdom, which in the scriptures they're known as Israel, Ephraim, which is your northern kingdom. When he was going out, or Gentiles, that's the best way, I want to keep it real, Gentiles. But he was going out there to speak to the people. It says that he tells us, the Most High, Father, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars. and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. Now, that right there is repetitive of everything that we see that occurred in the scripture. The prophets, by the Most High, somebody killed them off. By the time we get to Yahushua, if you're really paying attention to what took place, somebody killed Yahushua off. When Paul and the other apostles went out to spread the good word, the good news, to teach the truth, somebody else went before the Most High's people to speak, and they told a lie. So the apostles were teaching. They were being locked up in prison, beaten, stoned, sawed in half, just anything horrible you could think of. Somebody did that to the Most High's prophets, his apostles, to his only begotten son. It's not as obvious today because nobody can just go around stoning somebody today. You know, nobody can go around just, I mean, we know it's been done. Nobody can go, just go hang nobody no more, at least not of any of our people. And this was within our people. But they did it because someone who was sitting in Moses' seat. When the children of Korah came against Moses in the Old Covenant, we're going to get to all this eventually, I'm just speaking. When they came against Moses, and we know Moses was in the law-giving seat. He was getting the laws and commandments from our Heavenly Father. But when they came against Moses in the book of Numbers, and they had wanted to do their own thing at that point and basically take over what Moses was doing, Most High destroyed them. Most High destroyed them. Many of the ones who try to come against the Most High's people, we're going to find that the Father's going to protect his people. And although it may seem, it may appear that those of the serpent, those who teach against the Father, the white world calls them Antichrist. The scriptures call them the seed of the serpent, if you're paying attention. They're also called scribes and Pharisees. But any time they go against one of the Father's people, they got to pay. The Father's not going to allow it. No one who he sets up in a position to do a task will be harmed. They will not. When I say they will not be harmed, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about today. If we're here to do a job that has to be done, it was prophesied to happen, which is to wake our people up by planting seeds, showing them the truth. But we have to mention the ones that came before us that have filled our people's head with the same type of babble or confusion or Babylon that when Yahushua came on the scene, our people's minds were confused, confounded, delusioned, perverted, full of babble. Now, let's go a little further. Elijah says right here, they've killed the prophets, dig down the altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. Verse 4, but what said the answer of the Father unto him? What did he say to him? He said, I have reserved to myself 7,000 of my people who have not bowed down the knee to the image Baal. What is he speaking about? Well, during this time period, we were a whorish woman. Many of us started worshiping men, worshiping the gods of heaven like they're doing today. Let me go back a little bit. Anytime something that's in sinful flesh, just like you can tell you that they are your salvation by telling you that, hey, you have no set-apart spirit, woman. You have to have me as a covering in order to hear from the Father or to be considered a virtuous woman. Now, I bring that example up because we just went over all this stuff. There's only one mediator between the people and our Father, and that's that man, Yahushua. That's our Redeemer. So when it says to you, for even at this present time, there's a remnant left according to the election of grace. But the Father reserved 7,000 of his people who have not bowed down the image to Baal. Okay, they've not done that. Elijah was never left alone. He thought he was. But the Father had a different operation at work because it wasn't just about Elijah. Thing was written before the foundations of the earth. Elijah had a role to play, and Elijah was doing what he was supposed to do. But he did more honorably than most of us because he was at least communicating with the Father. Today, if things happen, many of us forget who our Father is. We forget. The ways of the world overtake us, and then we forget, take it to our Father. And what I'm talking about is we read our English Term Bible, which is our Hebrew history book, translated. And we feel good about it. And then we start in on our daily activities. And when something that we already read in Scripture, but when something of this world comes against us, we panic. Why do we panic? See, we got to start living and operating out the Spirit to have that connection with our Father, understanding that His Word is true. Our faith, we're reading about it. Do we believe it? Elijah called upon the Most High to talk to him. What do? Many of us try to solve it ourselves. Something that really, if you're in this world and you're working under those who are your oppressors because you're in their land, there is no equality there for you. You could try, but there is none. What I would do is let's talk to the Father first, and He will show us what we need to do. And if it need be, He will change your heart. He will harden your heart or change your heart, but whatever is for the well-being of His children. Elijah knew that. So Paul says, even so at this present time, also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. But he tells us, and this is your hint, verse 6, Romans 11, verse 6, pay attention. And if by grace, because the election was by grace, you ain't got to do nothing for grace. That's a gift. So he says, and if by grace, then is it no more of works, because the old covenant consisted of works. I've heard many people go to the grafting in, and they're reading the scripture, and they tell you, well, the works he's speaking of is the sacrificial laws. No, uh-uh. If you would say that, you have not read the Old Covenant. You have not read and understood Revelations. The works that the people were doing is what got them in trouble. You didn't read what the prophet Isaiah said or Jeremiah. If you believe the works is just sacrificing an animal, the sin offering. No, uh-uh. That's not what he was speaking of. Let's go a little couple places here. Let me first read it again. I'm reading Romans 11, verse 6. He says, and let me go back to 5 to make sure y'all get it. Even so then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Not that they did anything. The Father kept certain ones, and those were the ones who didn't bow a knee down to Baal or to do idol worship. They knew who their Father was. So he says, if by grace, then is it no more of works? We're going to find out what the works mean. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, like I said, you go to some of these sites and they tell you the work was sacrificing animals. Sounds good, because we know that, yes, that could be right, but what else? If he's telling you that you have a grace, you ain't got to do no more work, what is he really speaking of if you're reading all the Old Covenant? Well, let's go here. Let's look up the word first. That's going to help people out quite a bit. When you go to look up that word works and work of Romans 11, 6, you're going to find out it's Greek 20:41. Check it out, family. Here's what it says. The word work means that which one undertakes to do. That could be a lot of things. And if you go back and see what we were doing, I mean, it's obvious. Yes, we were doing sacrificial offerings. We were not doing keeping the law, keeping the Torah, no good judgment in the land. We weren't taking care of the need of the poor. Everything was perverted that the Father gave to us. So there's a lot of things we didn't do. So it says the word work is Greek 2041, that which one undertakes to do. Anything accomplished by hand. Now, I pinpoint that word hand. You guys should know where I'm going with this. If we're telling you, just by reading, the definition for the word work, which the Father says, is not about work no more. It's about grace. When you go look up the word work in the lexicon, for in the Greek, it tells you 2041. It says that which one undertakes to do. So it's a matter of doing something this works. It's talking about doing something. It says anything accomplished by hand. The hand. We know that the book of Revelation talks about having the mark in the forehead or in the right hand. So let's pay attention to this now. Because it says anything accomplished by the hand. I'll go a little further. The definition they give you in the outline of biblical uses for the word word, which is Greek 2041, it says an act, a deed, thing done. The ideal of working is emphasized in opposition to that which is less than work. So it's a labor, something that you feel you need to do. You're accomplishing something, but you're working with your hands to get it done. But the Father's not looking for that. It's like when a lot of the children of Israel were trying, because they were taught under certain people that you have to do this. You have to do that in the old covenant. But when they were taught it, it was a perverseness, because you got to remember what Jeroboam did. Jeroboam took the basis of men and told them, boop, you're the new priest. You're the new priest. You go do the service of our father. Remember, King Solomon had already built those temples and those high groves, and you know, he already did all that where the people were supposed to, well, not his people, but all the women he married where they were worshiping their deities. Jeroboam made a place, made a day, made an altar, made the lowest of base men the priests. Later we find out that the southern kingdom, Judah, they start doing erroneously. They were doing like the children of Israel, works that were not in the line of what our father said he wanted. Because we can read in the Old Covenant what we were supposed to do. You go to the Torah, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, you can understand what we were supposed to do. By the time you get to the Book of Kings, bloop, it's all out the door. It's all out the door. We start getting put into captivities. See, I don't count Egypt with the ones in Daniel's prophecy for the fact that we were Gentiles back there, then he always still had a remnant. That remnant is always those lineages you see. That's why you won't have certain sons' names in the lineage. And how you tell what's the pure lineage? Go to the new covenant, because it gives you from Adam straight down. That's that remnant, straight down to Yahushua. Gives you a lineage. So he always had a remnant left. Somebody had to be there. But our people, both the northern and southern kingdom, was led astray by somebody. And that somebody tells you to do works. These are just hints. And when we read the definition of works, what's it talking about? It's talking about with your hand. And then you go to Revelations and you try to figure out, well, what are you talking about? I'm marking your head or your hand. Remember, think spiritual. You're not going to have no tattoo or no barcode or no 666. None of that crap. None of that. We're thinking spiritual, but what is it that our Father is letting us know? Because he tells us in verse 6 that this remnant, that they're an election by grace. It says, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Works is over with. Works is over with. And when I say works, I'm not talking about taking time to gather on a Shabbat. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about what we did in Ur when we were supposed to be serving our Father. we went in the way of Cain and his descendants. You know, the children of the devil? I pray y'all know what I'm talking about. Go to John 8. Okay, go to John 8 if you don't know, but we're going to take it really slow. This is common. So I'm only giving you milk right now. We ain't got to no meat. So I pray you're keeping up with me. So he tells us, if by grace, if this election, this remnant was by grace, then it is no more of works. Works is something you're going to do with your hands. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. You can't have grace because you do some works. The grace is because you didn't do nothing. It's a gift from the Father. He gave it to you. It says, but if it be of works, if grace would be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So I want to throw that at you guys, and then we're going to take it here. What works? Because if you go to certain videos out there, the majority of them will tell you it's a sacrificial sin of the of offering the animal. That's done away with. That's what he's talking about. No, that's not what he's talking about. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Everybody turn there, please. Hebrews 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. Because, see, we got to know what works. Now, we just read about the hand. Keep all it, you know, I don't know how your memory works. I don't really know how your mind works. I don't know if you're writing down your notes. I don't know if you're precepted and following me when I tell you, remember this, because we're going to bring it up later. Remember this. And I try to show you where they talk about this in another part of Scripture, specifically Revelations, because that's what everybody's trying to figure out right now. It's important you pay attention, okay? Go to Hebrews 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. Everybody turn there, please. I'm going to take a sip of my tea. I'm enjoying myself here, going to the Father's Word, sharing it with you what he has given me. Now, you can read for yourself, too. You can ask the Father to reveal more to you, but we're going to go over this today. Okay, let's read. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So we're talking about entering into the Father's rest. You're going to get more understanding about this rest. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But, pay attention, we're talking about the northern and southern kingdom. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, you know he's talking about when the gospel of truth was preached in Jerusalem to the southern kingdom, they lacked faith. They lacked faith. Let's get a little bit more. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. And shall I say, why didn't they believe? Why did the children of the southern kingdom, why had they not believed Yahushua? Why was it so hard for them? Why was it easy for the scribes and the Pharisees to bribe the people, bribe the governor, do all the wickedness, and make sure that Yahushua was killed off? Well, family, they had already been teaching our people to err. They had not been giving them the correct understanding of the word. The ones that were in Jerusalem, the scribes and the Pharisees, the lawgivers, were sitting in Moses' seat. The perverseness was already out. Just like today, the perverseness is already out about the law. But when the Most High chooses someone to teach the truth, it seems Greek. It seems foreign. It seems strange. You've already gotten what was strange because you could read it yourself and know that what they said don't line up. I mean, it sounds good. It sounds close to the truth. But I can read right here where it says total opposite of what you're saying. And instead of questioning it and then taking it to the Father, let him reveal that truth to you. Many will go to the lying scribes and Pharisees, try to ask a question, many times be shut down. Many times they're going to put another lie, put another piece of leaven on the piece of leaven over leaven bread you already got. So it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preach did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and Yahuwah did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter, some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. We're going to take you there, but not today. I've spoken on this many times, but you can go read about it after the lesson. When you go to Genesis, I'm not even opening up. I'm just going to tell you offhead. I'm allowed to set apart spirit to give you wisdom and understanding. Past that, you go look this up later if you don't know what I'm speaking of. On the seventh day, the Father finished all the work which he had made. But he noticed there was not a man to till the ground. This is on the seventh day. This was a set-apart day which was blessed. It was sanctified. It was set apart for his creation. Okay? We know that he had to have everything after its own kind. So he formed man from the dust of the ground, gave him the breath of life, and took out of his DNA, his rib, his cell, go look it up in the Strong's, and he made a woman. So they had exactly the same thing. Both Adam and Eve both were created in the image of their father, and they both had the breath of life, the set-apart spirit. They both were created and made, I should say, on the seventh day, that set apart, that sanctified day, the day of rest. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees, because if you understand Genesis chapter 3, how Cain was made, somehow the set apart day, the Shabbat day, doesn't mean as much to him. Not at all, because if it did, he would acknowledge the new covenant that Yahushua came to give. Because we just read that they all look forward to coming into his rest, into that seventh day. Remember, the seventh day was not, the man was not made for the seventh day, but the seventh day was made for man. Because that's the day the Father formed his creation. And that wasn't of works. That's something he wanted to do. That was a gift that he gave his son. Or should I say, Yahushua formed us, but that was a gift. We are a gift, just like a bride is a gift to her husband, as well as a husband is a gift to the bride. But we are gifts to Yahushua. Everything else, he was going to use that other creation, that male and that female on day six, 1,000 years prior. They were created for a specific purpose. That was work. That was work. I hope you're paying attention. But anyhow, it tells us, for we which, I'm going back to verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and Yahuwah did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing, my computer's sticking, give me a second, family. It won't move, and I need it to move so I can read. One second. I don't know about you guys, but I've been getting hacked like you wouldn't believe. It keeps pushing this thing up on me. Okay. I'm trying to get my computer to work. Sorry about this. I should have opened my scriptures. But then I have the I had my fan on, and then the pages were flying everywhere. It's like you can't win for losing some time. Okay, Ning is not responding. Okay, here it goes. They just shut it down. They're getting ready to reopen it. Give me a second. Give me 1 second. I've got to wait till they reel on my page. Okay, it's back up. I don't know if it's working yet. Let me see. Okay, it is working. Let me just get back where I was because it changed everything. Okay. So I'm at verse, I'm going to read verse 5 again. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some, only some, must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. So we know that in this end time, one of the main things we need to be working on is our faith. Okay? Our faith. Verse 7, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Yahushua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remained therefore a rest to the people of the Most High. The people of the Most High. Because, see, that day of rest, the Shabbat, is something special to our people. And it does include Yahushua. You can't take Yahushua out the mix. You can't keep going back to the law of the Old Covenant when Yahushua fulfilled and bought it spiritual. We're going to read about it. Somebody right away probably had a heart attack because I said that. But we're going to read about it. It tells us, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. You're going to stop doing what you was doing because we know that when our people was doing it, they were corrupted. All the law, the judgment, you know, the charity, none of that was right. He tells us, you can go to Isaiah chapter 1. You can go to Isaiah 66. You're going to go all over. Let's just say that. And you will hear how our people were not worshiping our Father according to the way he had prescribed in the law. They didn't follow the law. The works that they were doing were man-made traditions. We read about that with Jeroboam, how he set up the day, the altar, this, that, how when the children of Israel came out of Israel, what did they do? They did works of their hands. They built an altar with a golden calf. You're going to keep hearing about how through the people who are creeping in unaware have taught our people to err. We have a choice. You either follow the teachers that were sent by the Most High, or you can continue following those that Yahushua told you their father's the devil in John 8. And how will they accomplish their goal? You're going to find out by the law. And their form is not the new covenant law. Theirs go back to the old covenant and it performs works. But nobody was there. Even though you can read in the book, nobody was there during the time we were doing it righteous. Because the way they're doing it now, they're all doing it different. Just like the churches and all the different daughter churches of the Roman Catholic, you know, Protestants, Baptists, they all got different ways they do things. Same thing going on with the assemblies, the seven churches, the seven women spoken of in Revelations. Something that they're doing wrong. We're going to get to it. You're going to get it, but just remember that. Our Father says that grace is given to us. That's how he's choosing his people. Grace is given, mercy is given to our people. It's not about works. Because when we had the law and everything righteous, we messed it up. So the new covenant comes in and makes it spiritual so that we can't sin. We're going to go through it. Let me just keep going. I want to make sure everybody's getting this. Okay, so it tells us. I'm going to go back. Let me see, my page is sticking still. Nope, I'm going to go back to Hebrews 4 and continue reading. It says, verse 7 again. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Yahushua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of the Most High. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as Yahuwah did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, not to the traditions of men and the law and what you got to do, but we want to enter in the rest and cease from our works to be pleasing to our Father and enter into his rest. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, the one that was our Father's, the one that Yahushua came to fulfill, that rest, the rest that was the day, the seventh day, that everybody knows is our Shabbat day, let's rest, let's serve the Father. But see, they're doing it all wrong. They don't understand. The scribes and Pharisees will never tell you that there's two creations because they got to acknowledge that blessed seventh set-apart day. It's all right to say, yeah, let's, you know, we have to have one day for worship. But if you're not going to understand that seventh day was made for man. Man wasn't made for that seventh day. The reason for that seventh day was for the creation, formation of the Most High's children. That day is special. They won't recognize that there's two creations because when you recognize there's two creations, you're going to see that it's not the sixth day, which is nothing to anyone, but that seventh day, that blessed, that set apart day, that was special from the beginning to the Father's children. That is part of the commandments. That's in our commandments. But it's been perverted now. When Yahushua came in with the new covenant and said, don't put one day over the other, because he said that because our people, just like they're doing now, they're looking at moons. They can't figure it out because that was taken away in the book of Isaiah. So they're trying to figure out something now. And technically sinning. This is the day for this. This is the day for Feast of Passover. This is the day for this. They all got different days. They all wrong. But through the Spirit, when you go to the Shabbat, it's like the liberty you have. It's all liberty. You know who you serve. The Father brought you who you were here to fulfill. The law, the prophets, everything. I call it the seed too. Because everything became spiritual. You're not going to read about no more lineages in the scriptures. Now, how do you know the Most High's people from those who are not the Most High's people when they all look alike? Well, ye shall know them by the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. So he tells us, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man, anybody, any person fall after the same example of unbelief. So, family, when we go to back to Romans 11:6, and we're speaking about, well, Paul is speaking about that work, that we don't have to do it. We don't have to do that work anymore, the old work that we did in the old covenant. When we get to, I don't know how I want to put this. Well, let's go there. I'm going to be all over the book of Romans, but I want to take you to Romans 7 quickly because it tells us in Romans 11:6, it tells us, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Nothing you got to do. It's grace. It's a gift given to you. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So, Paul's speaking about we don't have to do that no more. We don't have to do the works. Let's go over to Romans 7 and see if there's anything else said about this works. Let's go over there. Romans 7, I'm going to begin at verse 1. Follow along. Please follow along, okay? Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, because the law, there was works involved with the law. There was work involved with the law. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Who is he speaking to? He was speaking to the people who were under scribes and Pharisees. He was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees too. They were all there. but he was specifically speaking to the people. Check out what he says. Know ye not, brethren, know ye not, assembly, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. He's asking a question. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Many today will tell you, I've heard it, when many people want to know about the marriage, they'll go call some of these sites that go back to the law. And they'll tell you, well, that woman, she just can't do nothing. The man can marry and get more concubines, but that woman can't do nothing. But this was the same type of law that was preached and Paul was rebuking during the time of Yahushua. You got to remember, the Most High said that they were lying prophets, the teachers, that everything was unruly back during this time period. They were always trying to get in Moses' seat so they can come and put heavy burdens on you and pervert the truth of the Father, keep you away from the kingdom. Let's go back to Romans 7. He says, let me read it again so you get it. I'm going to pick up at verse 2. I'm going to read 1 again as well. Y'all need to hear it. I'm going to take my time with this. Open up to Romans 7. So I'm beginning at verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. Now, really, I should take this spiritual. I really should take it spiritual with you. Let's keep reading. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. And that's exactly what I want to bring this, because this is what he's talking about. You know, even I mess up sometimes when I go through these scriptures, family, and that was a perfect example. See, if I would have read it the other way, I would have told you the same garbage that you're going to hear from many who are reading with, who have learned under the scribes and Pharisees, or whether they be descendants of the scribes and Pharisees themselves. But let's read this again with understanding. Think spiritual. Think about, we are the bride, we are the wife. Yahushua is our husband. Let's think of it that way for a second. Now, Paul, he's going out, he's speaking to the Gentiles. Here's what he says. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, that's a question. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives, so as long as the woman lives. Remember, we're talking about Israel and Yahushua. Now, many of them didn't realize that Yahushua was resurrected. But let's go back here. It says, but if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, although she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Yahushua, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto the Father. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. He's bringing the spiritual message is what I'm trying to give the understanding. He's talking about the law and the works of the law and how it bring forth death. We can read about that also in Galatians. That's about the law. Go read that if you don't understand the law. But let's go further. I don't want to stop here. Let's go a little further. But now we are delivered from the law. See, this goes into that new covenant. That's what Paul's teaching. Let's go to verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we are held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, the renewal of the mind, the body, and the spirit, right? This is the spiritual baptism we were looking for. And not in the oldness of the letter. What was the letter? That was the Torah. That was where the law was. I'm going to read it again. Verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held before Yahushua came, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. See? The law brought death to us. That's what he's saying. The Torah, it was good, but it brought death to us. The new covenant brings life to us. So Paul says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held. We were held that we should serve in newness of the spirit, take up the old man, put on the new man, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Yahuwah forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. I'm going to read it again. Hold on. Yes. Not on me. I don't have it on me. I'm in the middle of a show. I have it. Okay, I'm sorry, family, my son. All right, let me read it again. I want to make sure that everyone is really getting this. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, okay, the flesh, the motions of sin, we doing stuff, right, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law through Yahushua, right? The new covenant. He fulfilled it. That being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oneness of the letter. Or excuse me, the oldness of the letter. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Yahuwah forbid, nay. I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manners of concupiscence. I don't know. It says, for without the law, sin is dead. Okay? For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is set apart, and the commandment set apart, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Yahuwah forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual. I'm going to read it again. For we know that the law, the old covenant, the law, this is what, you remember, the law brings death. What is brought to you? What did Yahushua say that he did to the serpent? He killed the serpent. He killed death. He overcame it. The law was fulfilled. He overcame the death that came with the law since we're in the flesh. So he tells you right here, for we know that the law is spiritual. That's the new covenant. That was the law was the shadow. It was a foreshadow of better things to come. Now, through the fulfilling of Yahushua's death, burial, and resurrection, we have the new covenant made between us and the Father, and we have life brought into the law. It's all spiritual. So he tells us, go back, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. What he's saying is, the law is spiritual, but he got flesh on. Just like me and you, we all got flesh on. He said, sold under sin, speaking about our flesh. For that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is sin that dwelleth in me. Because, family, we read it. I'm not going to go over that because I think y'all should understand that by now. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do in the flesh, right? Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of Yahuwah or Yahushua after the inward man, because it's all spiritual. He's telling you, for I delight in the law of Yahushua after the inward man, because Yahushua told you, take off the old man, put on the new man. Everything became spiritual during this part of the new covenant. But the scribes and the Pharisees, those sitting in Moses' seat, they bring you to the law of death. Many of our people follow that. They're enemies to us because of the word being perverted. Not that those who are doing these things, following these children of the devil, not that they themselves are really devils. They lead that way into being called children of wickedness. But the children of the devil who have crept in unawares, teaching a perverse doctrine of the law, the physical law, not the new covenant. They're bringing death to you. Let's go back. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of our Father, the one that Yahushua came to fulfill after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The flesh, who's going to deliver him from the flesh, bring him back spiritual? I thank Yahuwah through Yahushua, our Redeemer. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of Yahuwah, which is Yahushua's new covenant, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That's the old letter. That's the old law. That's the old toward the covenant. We kept breaking it anyhow. The new one is almost impossible to break that one. If you break it, all you got to do is repent. And that doesn't mean I'm just going to sin left and right to the last day and I'm going to repent. No. Once you repent, you have to have a renewness of the mind, body, and spirit. You have to want the new covenant because there's life in it. Because you want to please the Father. You want to please the Father. You want to obtain the kingdom. You want to remain set apart to the Father and not be found to be displeasing to our Father. Now, I want to start reading for you guys. Let me just check out. You know, when I start reading, I forget to check my chat line. There could be a lot of things going on, but so far it looks all right. Okay, great. Yeah, okay. All right, let's go there. I want to pick up at Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Oh, wait a minute. This is not what I wanted. I'm sorry, family. I got two things in front of my face. I do not want to go there. I want to go to Romans 2. All right, let's go to Romans 2 because Romans 2 says a lot. See, first I got to show you what was really taken away when you read the new covenant. the flesh law, not the spiritual law, okay? Not the one that brought death of the flesh. That was taken away. You could read about that in the book of Galatians as well. I think either 4 or 5, Galatians 4 or 5, you could read about that. It tells you about the Hagar and talk about Sinai, the law that was given here, and they're talking about the flesh versus the spirit. Everything we're going to be reading about, family, is about flesh versus spirit. The children of Cain were not the children of the spirit. They were the children of the flesh. That's why when you get taught today about the old law, you're being taught by the children of Cain who don't have the spiritual understanding of our Father, because they weren't sent from above. They were not sent from above. They have a different spirit. John 8 says that they are the children of the devil. That's your modern-day scribes and Pharisees. And if we look in 2014, they can call themselves a more, an elder, a master teacher, whatever they want to call themselves. They're coming out of these camps. And if they're not preaching Yahushua, they say they are, but if they're not preaching Yahushua, I'm not saying his name. I'm saying if they're not giving you the same teachings that we can read about in the New Covenant, where there was a fulfillment of everything of the Old Covenant, then you are being taught and led astray. You're being taught death instead of life. I'm giving you the word, the truth of the word. That's life. That's what you want. Now, we're going to read Romans 2, but before we do that, I'd like to give everyone a chance, as well as myself, to get something to drink and, get, my dog doesn't want to start barking. That's a perfect time for me to take a break. I'm going to take a 3-minute break, family. We're going to join back because we're going to go over more. You got to get this part, family, if you're going to really understand the scribes and the Pharisees that were sitting in Moses' seat, as well as the mark of the beast, the mark of Cain. You're going to get it all. So go ahead and get yourself something to drink. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Thank you.
right, shalom, shalom, shalom. We're back. Now, family, I'm going to switch y'all back to Romans chapter 1. I feel that we're going to get a completeness of this. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1 instead of chapter 2. Let's pick up at verse 13. Verse 13, Romans chapter 1. Now, I would not have you ignorant, my people, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles, other lost sheep, because Paul was designated to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I am debtor both to the Greeks, the lost sheep that were in Greece, and to the barbarians, both, and these are all lost sheep family, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, the Gentiles who were living in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Yahushua, for it is the power of Yahuwah unto salvation to every Hebrew that believeth. To the Hebrew first, or shall I say, to the Yehuda first, I can say the remnant first, and also to the lost sheep, the Greek, at this point. That's who he was talking to. For therein is the righteousness of Yahuwah revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, my people, shall live by faith. For the wrath of Yahuwah is revealed from heaven against all unrighteous, unset apart men, talking about the people, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For the wrath of Yahuwah is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of our people who hold not the truth in righteousness. Because that which may be known of Yahuwah is manifested in them. For Yahuwah hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are seen clearly, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and greatness, so that they are without excuse. Because Yahushua came into the earth, remember? That's what he's speaking about. Because that when they knew Yahuwah, they glorified him not as Yahuwah. Go back to the old covenant. We start worshiping idols and men, all that of the other nations. We start doing exactly what the Father told us in his commandment not to do. The first commandment, we're to love our Father, worship only our Father. You know, we didn't do it. So it says because that when they knew Yahuwah, they glorified him not as our Father, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Father Yahuwah into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-foot beast and creeping things. This, you can read all about this, family, in the Old Covenant. Every time we decided, oh, let's make this statue, we were worshiping Astaroth, Balaam. We were worshiping a bull-like deity many times. You know, family, this is what we were doing as a nation. This is why the works was taken away from us. Let's go a little further. Verse 24. Wherefore Yahuwah also gave them unto uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Remember, we were given the law and told how to stay set apart, how to stay like a virtuous woman. But this is what he did because we disobeyed. It said, wherefore Yahuwah also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of Yahuwah into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to stop there for a second. Now, I pray you're going to be thinking about what we're going to really talk about. It tells us the Father gave them over to uncleanliness. Just like in the end time, they're going to be given false delusions. Same thing. Why will they be given these false delusions? And they're going to believe a lie. And that's one sign. Something, these people will not change when you give them the correct scripture. Something's being done here, family. The Father is pointing them out again. It's like when Yeshua came in and said, ye are them who killed the prophets. You're descendants of them. Ye are a generation of vipers. He says, what they did was the people who knew Yahuwah, but they went and served other deities and animals and all this crazy madness. He said he gave them over to their uncleanliness of their own lustful hearts. What did they do? They changed the truth of Yahuwah into a lie. They're doing that today by telling you, omit Yahushua. Omit the spiritual baptism. You got to go to the water baptism. Omit the new covenant, which is Yahushua and it's spiritual. Go back to the law of death. They go to the traditions of men. They pervert Jeremiah 16:19 and tell you that's talking about the other nations. Bring them in. They pervert all the truth. You don't know the truth. They're reading out the book, but they're perverting it. They're making the children of the Most High more devils than themselves. Many of the children of the Most High, those who are supposed to be knowing our Father, they've learned a lie. They've learned the perverse doctrine. Just like we're reading now, here's what he does. He said, who changed the truth of our Father into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. If you understand, and I pray you guys hearken to what I'm saying here, anytime the scribes and the Pharisees who were sitting in Moses' seat, their descendants are here today teaching our people, the woman has no set-apart spirit. She needs a man, an earthly, fleshly, sinful flesh man to cover her in order for her to get salvation as well as for her to speak to the Father. It's the man's seed, his sperm, that has to generate and create more of the Father's children. You, at that point, if you believe that lie, you have started worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. If you believe the lie by the scribes and the Pharisees, I hope you see the difference between the two. For the people who have gone in the way of Cain, have gone into a false delusion, they will tell you America's Babylon. You must flee. You must come into my little built civilization, because when things get bad, there's nobody to help you. But if you come here, if you stockpile, if you get your guns, if you leave America, Babylon, because that's getting ready to get destroyed, but come over here. Yahushua said, there's going to be something going to tell you in time, lo. And I'm going to say it like it said in the scriptures. Lo, Christ is over here. To get salvation, you got to go over here. He told us, don't go. People telling you, you need to come here because this is where the remnant is. This is where the faithful who waiting on the Father, this is where they're going to be at right here. This is what you have to do in order to build this nation. Because, see, our Father can't do that. When the famine hits, because they talk about the water, they talk about everything underneath the sun, but through this man and his vision, you will be all right. Because you've started to worship the creation more than the Creator. This is what is being spoken of in the book of Romans. It was done before this, nothing new underneath the sun. I'll read it again. Wherefore it says, I'm going to start at 20, I want to read this. I want to make sure y'all getting it. I'm going to pick up at verse 21 of Romans chapter 1. Now he's talking about a certain group of his people that they've erred, but somebody was over them that they're not figuring, we haven't gotten to who did it. But we're showing you, they're messing up by their works with their hands. They're messing up with the law. Death was through the law, but there's somebody pushing the law. And you're going to see that person who pushed the law, you're going to see it in Genesis chapter 4 with Cain. We're going to look at all. You're going to understand the connection of what the Father said. I have no respect for Cain nor his offering. Well, we know the Father says he's not a respecter of persons. But we're going to see what was he had in the respect that Cain did. And how is that still being done, even in 2014, and you can read about it in Revelation. Same thing. Let me read this again. Romans 1, verse 21. Pay attention. Because that when they knew Yahuwah, the Father, they glorified him not as our Father. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Father into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore Yahuwah also gave them up to their uncleanliness. He gave them up to strong delusions in this end time through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of our Father into a lie. They perverted the word, worshiped, and served the creation or the creator, and they served the creature, which is the creation, more than the creator, which is our Father. So you got people worshiping a man, and they don't understand that that's what they're doing, because they want the words to be, if it says Egypt is bondage, they want that same phrase said exactly the same way here to understand it. But that's not the way it's always given in the scripture. He's letting you know there's nothing new underneath the sun, and my word, whatever I proclaim, is not coming back void. But I'm going to tell you, during this time, Paul was letting the people know what the Father did, why he darkened their eyes, why he gave them no understanding, because of what they did. What is being done today? People are serving and respecting the tradition of a man more than the truth of our Father's word. So he tells us in the end time, I'm going to give you strong delusions so that you can believe the lie. Because if you don't understand that Revelations is talking about us, as a people, as a nation, ain't talking about them white folks, ain't talking about them Japanese, ain't talking about them Africans. Talking about Israel, that whorish woman. They got a choice to make. They got to understand Revelation so they can come out from confusion, Babylon. But what were they doing then? They're doing it today. Many are listening to the traditions of men who want to give you the old Torah. Woman ought not to wear pants because they'll go to Deuteronomy 22. Uh-uh. That's not what the Father was speaking of. The men weren't wearing pants. Because you got a pair of pants on, what, you're going to hell? What? Uh-uh. What's some more laws? Well, they bring in the Gentiles. How can you bring in, I'm just taking one example. If the Father says, I hate Esau, how are you going to bring Esau in? Father's word says, I change not. How can you regather somebody who never been with us, never been righteous? The word says that they are our enemies. How can they come in now? Because they decided, because some man has told them they need to dip their behind in water. Any Neanderthal out there just needs to dip, any hybrid, chinchilla mix, Mickey Mouse and all that, just dip yourself in water and you get to come in. There are certain people out there, half their congregation are mixed with Gentiles. So they tell them that we're all spiritual Israel, not understanding the word. Their hearts and their minds, everything's been darkened. They stumble at the word. Many will tell you, hey, we got to build a nation. How idiotic is that when you think that a man's seed, his sperm, is what makes you a Hebrew? Where's the Father in all this? Because he's the only one that creates anything. But now a man is creating. This is all for that end time revelation. Understand that. What I'm telling you right now, I'm getting you to think. So it tells us, who changed the truth of our Father into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's all Paul had to write about that, okay? I want to go a little further. For this cause, what did the Father do? He gave them unto their own vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain Yahuwah in their knowledge, Yahuwah gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with an all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperings, backbiters, haters of the Most High, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parent, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. And let me just say something right there. It says, without natural affection. Now, I've heard many, and I'm just going to go there because, you know, certain things I watch, I see, and people think that that's some good teaching. Or you told that person, right, you were being righteous when you told that person that. I heard a brother who was supposed to be a teacher tell these women on the street, well, where is your husband? Now, I would have asked, well, where is my husband? You tell me. They assume because they read the scripture, they're talking about that nasty black woman, that haughty daughter of Zion, that they will tell you is a woman, and they tell you, see, because of y'all big mouth, y'all won't humble yourself 100%, that man left you. Now, in all reality, a natural affection would be that, because she is left with no man because that man is into the world. 9 times out of 10, that's a scenario. Usually when a woman fusses, because the man didn't do what he's supposed to do. Now, we all know that. Even they knew that. But they didn't say that. They asked that woman, and they turned it all on her. And everybody thought that these teachers were doing something righteous. That's like me telling the man who doesn't have his wife, look at you. You're this, you're nasty. Well, no, that woman could have been beating that man up. There's a lot of men get beat up by women. And that woman was unrighteous. But what I'm saying is, right now, the division is between the men and the women. And since there's only men teachers out there with megaphones screaming this daughter of Zion mess and picking on the woman, making a division, and people think that they are sent by the Most High, but really you're seeing scribes and Pharisees sitting in Moses' seat, the descendants of those who killed the prophets as well as Yahushua. That's what you see. You see that lineage of Cain, whose father is the devil. That's what you see. If that woman had a man who was giving her natural affection, which means our Father told us from the beginning that they're two of the same flesh. You don't hate your body. But that man who's left alone, whatever that woman did, if it was something that she did, who knows? But we're supposed to love one another. A husband's supposed to love his wife, and a wife's supposed to love her husband. That's natural affection. But what we see today, with the people, are people, both the men and the women, are both unrighteous. Everybody want to be a pimp and a player. Everybody, there's some people switching the natural course of what the Father set them to be with the one particular sex. They're changing that into the same sex now. All this was talked about in the scriptures. It doesn't mean just a woman. No, it could be a man too. We're reading about it. Let's go there. Without understanding, it says covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful. Anytime you see anybody who leaves their family for another woman, or they leave their family for another man. That's unmerciful. I mean, you produce this family, and now your lustful ways have got you looking another direction. Don't you care about your family? The natural affections that our people are supposed to have towards one another, it's like it's not there, and you wonder, why are our people look like we just can't get it right? Something going on here. But when we read the scripture, we find out that because when our people knew Yahuwah, they weren't happy with that. They wanted to know the gods of the other nations. They wanted to even make some of themselves gods. That's the way the Bible says it. Even Revelation talks about it. He sits as though he is the Most High. You're going to read about it. I'm just trying to show you a couple things, because when we go here, I'm going to bring it back up, and I pray you put the two in connections together and reread the scriptures and get the understanding. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of Yahuwah, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You see, family, when you really get to the understanding of what's going on, some of our people, when they have learned, not our father, when they have learned under scribes and Pharisees, which put the division amongst the people, I tell everybody, we're going to do it for instance right now. I brought this example up before, but I'm going to bring it up again because I really want you to think. During the time of slavery, when our ancestors was in that blistering hot sun, back-breaking, sweating for the white man, for Edom. Edom was getting richer and richer. Edom was sipping his mint jubilee on the porch, talking to the friends as we worked in the hot sun, laughing, cackling, ha, 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 the good old days. Now, Edom has left the picture. Instead, the Hebrew man has come onto the porch with his mint jubilee, looking at that black woman, loving it, because his lustful ways are enriching itself. And don't get mad because I'm saying this. Think about what I'm saying. By the law of what these men are teaching, which is not even righteous law, but what they're teaching is to put that woman in her place. This is her job, her responsibility. She can't open her mouth back to you. She can't do this. She can't do that. If her husband decides to let her go, she can't just let her husband go. But if her husband decides to let her go, she's supposed to stay by herself. In order for any Hebrew woman to get into that kingdom, she got to marry any old Hebrew man. In order for that Hebrew woman to do anything, she got to have her daddy, her brother, her father, her uncle, some man, any man over her. So now we replace Mr. White Man on the front porch cackling, laughing at the hot black slave, but this time with a Hebrew who has found out that he's a Hebrew, but he's under the scribes and Pharisees, and he's made that woman still into a slave and told her she needs to be happy. And she's still working in that field. I don't think that's the way the Father wanted it. I think somebody has been duped into believing they have the truth of the word. And, yes, you're enjoying the lustful ways. If you benefit from everything, if you can, before you became a Hebrew, many, and this is just the truth of it, many of our people were fornicating all over the world, all type of women, all type of men. Now, if you're a man and you were doing that foul sleeping around act, but now you got the word behind you, and then you read those words, not getting the spirit of truth, thinking that you could have concubines, ribs, surpluses of extra meals, a takeout dinner on the left side, right side, and it's all ordained by the Father. And one day you're going to be in that kingdom just cackling it up, enjoying yourself. But in the meantime, that woman got to shut up, be quiet, be obedient, and now you got to work hard at your sexual seed laying because you got to rebuild the kingdom. How wonderful could that be? Because when you were unrighteous, you want to do that. But now you got the word behind you, and you got a lot of misled sisters who will not read the scripture, not ask the Father to give them understanding. And for the men, when they come into the truth, and many of them don't want to live a life like that, but they're being taught this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to lead. Don't let your woman talk. Shut her up. Put her in place. Now you're a good Hebrew man. They're blocking the way of the kingdom. The same ones who quote out of our history book. But the Father will tell you, I didn't send them. The Father will tell you that they are teaching not of me. They're teaching a lie. They're making my word into a lie. Yahushua said they're turning the children of the kingdom, making them more devils than themselves. A lot of this is done through the flesh, means lust. They want this. They're going to lust after it. Now they got the word to back it up, baby. And because people read it without the spiritual understanding, they're trapped. But see, the scribes and the Pharisees should also read those teachings not of our Father and not of Yahushua. The Father going to pick his people up to give his people the truth. And we're going to take it spiritual. We're going to let the Father's word speak through me as I speak. So we read about, it says, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of our Father Yahuwah, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, your family, I pray y'all understand this stuff. I'm at this point going to stop. I didn't get very far, but like I said, I want to take you and read. And we're going to be doing a lot of reading. This whole lesson might last a year, family, because it's like I'm really going through the whole word with you from the old covenant to the new. I'm going to be all over. But I want to have it to where if you understand this part, because we've covered it, it's going to be one lesson. Anybody comes to me, I'm going to direct them to that lesson because we're going to cover a lot of things. But when we finish with it, we're going to be able to link Revelations up and what you should be looking for. What's the truth? Read it, and I go precept it here. We're going to link up those who are causing our people to err, who have always been with our people, but many don't understand what they're looking at. We're going to show you how there is a separation between our people who have been enemies to us because of the word and those who are creeping in, have no ideal of our Father, and they will not lift any burden they put on you off. They won't give you the correct understanding of the scripture. They lie about the word. So we're going to bring all that to a close before all said and done. I'm going to go ahead and see if anybody wants to have any comments. Like I said, I'm only going to keep the shows for 2 hours. I don't want to put them longer than that. People have to go to bed, go to work, all that. I realize that. But this is something just for you to digest for a second. When we pick back up, we will be in verse 2. And we're going to have that for our Shabbat lesson this Saturday. So be prepared, okay? And for the Saturday lesson, that's the only day I might go in the third hour because most people don't have to work the day after that. So that's the only day I'll have it. If anybody wants to ask a question, call in, give a comment. The number is 646-595-4111. I'm taking callers right now, okay? I want to make sure that in case we ever talk about something, the family members as well as the lost sheep have a time that they can call in and ask a question, and I will be happy to go into the scriptures with them. So my sister has her hand up here, so let me go ahead and open up her mic first. Area code 916. Shalom, sister. Hello? Maybe you didn't know. Area code 916.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I was on mute. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. I was going to hang up on you. What's going on, sis?
Oh, nothing. I was just listening still. I got disconnected earlier, so I called back.
Oh, you got dropped?
My phone, I guess the reception's not working that well, so my phone dropped, so I got back on to listen. I only got, I don't know, probably the last 40 minutes of it, but I guess I'll say something. I like Romans 1, because that talks about the viciousness and homosexuality, you know, different things like that, covetousness and backbiting and all that. I didn't look at it the way you explained it as far as the natural affection. That can also be looked at as a husband leaving a wife or vice versa. I didn't know that. I always looked at it as homosexuality. Because,
well,
I mean,
it stated homosexuality
natural.
There. Yeah. Sister
right.
stated that already. But then it talked about the
right.
unnatural affections. See, the affections that the Hebrews were supposed to have was brotherly love,
right.
you know, and that is what is not natural for us right now. That's unnatural affection. But it talked
okay.
also about the homosexuality. It encompasses quite a bit That's why I want to take my time and go through some of this, because a lot of what we're seeing today, people think this is new. No, this is not new. When we got the first Torah, the law, we were told not to do a lot of these things. But because the people act like they didn't know the Father, although they knew the Father, and they went their way to do what they wanted to, and what you're seeing today, they were doing back then, making someone a god, as they like to say, and not making our Father, the Most High, our Father. They made a man. They were listening to, when I say a man, I'm talking about a person. And nine times out of ten, well, yes, it was a man. The other nations deal with the two deities. Usually it's the female deities they would deal with, but our people usually were dealing with men.
Yeah, I didn't, I disassociated, I've always associated that with homosexuality and being at a death state, homosexuality. Could it be also alienation of affection? That's the same, right? Because I know they used to have a law for married couples. You can sue your husband or your wife for alienation of affection and stuff.
Well,
some
what we're talking about.
That. Huh?
That's what we're talking about.
Right,
I don't know
right.
what you really heard or didn't hear, but I said in the beginning, you know, it was told to us that that man and that woman, they're going to cleave to each other. And then when you get to New Covenant, it tells us that the man is supposed to love his wife, the wife's supposed to love her husband, because a man would not hate his own flesh. So that natural love, just for even your wife, but we're talking brotherly love for everybody, it's not there. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, there's a lot of, I don't know what's going on with your phone, there's a lot of noise, but yeah, you're right. It does encompass a lot of things, but it's the things that should be natural to us. They're unnatural now. The affection is not there. That's what we're talking about, as well as the homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And the word says, you know, should you not worry about pleasing the Father? Don't worry about pleasing no man, no woman. Please the Father. Because a man and a woman can't save you. They can't give you everlasting life. All you can get is a tradition. The Father, that's his word, that's his spirit, that's the life. That's what we want.
Right.
You know, Jeremiah 16:19 is a hint to the Hebrews, if you understand that you were called Gentiles if you knew not the Father. That in the end times, those Gentiles are going to come from the four corners of the earth and they're going to say, our fathers have taught us lies. And that's for the end time. When we're reading about how our people would be, we know that there's many black homosexuals, Hebrew homosexuals. We know that there's many who commit adultery every day, if we want to get down to physical flesh adultery. We know that many have perverted the truth of the Father's word, who of our people. This is nothing new. The Father wants to know, who are you going to serve, the creation or me? When we get down to that mystery Babylon, that woman that sits on a beast with that golden cup in her hand, people are looking at Rome and all the other nations, and they're not looking at themselves. You better hold that mirror right to your face. We are the people being spoken. This is our history book. Find out what we did wrong. Find out and understand the daughter of Zion is Israel. And when we go to Isaiah, he's speaking of how when he first took us from the blood, how he cleaned us up, garnished us, and then instead of us understanding who our father was, we went just like the other nations, and we started whoring ourselves out. And they didn't pay us nothing. We gave them gifts. And they talked, they were amazed with us. You see, the only people on this planet that it ever speaks about discontinued from their heritage and lost for lack of knowledge are our people. That's why when they made that little thing saying, if you want to keep it from a Hebrew, where do you hide it? Well, you hide it in a book because we don't read. See, a lot of stuff's right here in the Word, but many people, even though that every household usually has at least one Bible in it, our people still won't read. I talked to a young woman, not going to mention no names. She tells me she don't read the Bible. I'm like, well, if you don't read the word, how are you going to know if you've been conned?
Huh.
Somebody, you're under a teacher, but you're not reading the Bible. You're not reading the letter the Father left for you. You're not knowing these things. You got to read. Everybody, everyone, the brethren, the church, the woman, the assembly, okay, the bride, everyone who has a set apart spirit is supposed to read the word. Everybody has to study them, study and show themselves the proof to the Father. Everyone. Do you want to add anything else? We got about 2 minutes left.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to leave you on while I do this last part. If anybody else wants to put their hand up, you know, we have about 2 minutes left. I'll take other callers. If you just want to say shalom, that's fine. The number is 646-595-4111. If anybody has anything else to say, while I'm waiting, I will say this. When you try to pick out Revelation's family, and that's nothing but the revealing of everything already that has been spoken by the prophets, that's all Revelations is. I'm going to put you on park, sister, because I can hear a lot. It's a lot of noise. I'm going to put you on park, okay? Okay, let me get her on park while I say this. The scribes and the Pharisees make you look at events in the world. Our Father lets you know that everything, 90 seconds, 646-595-4111. Until I get this out, I'm not going to disconnect, so I'm going to finish saying what I got to say. 646-595-4111. Got about a minute left if you want to switch over while I add a little something. I add it because somebody needs to hear it. If you don't understand, family, then when it comes to Revelations is just revealing of what has already been spoken of. Everybody believes because of how it's worded that you got to go look out in the world and see what's happening because that word is for this end time. So let me look outside and just see. I can connect this. No, you ain't got to connect none of what's happening in the world. The only thing that you were supposed to understand with Revelations when it comes to Daniel's prophecy with the four, with the statue, the four kingdoms, you just got to understand what kingdom you're in right now because that's the kingdom that Yahushua is going to come and put judgment on. He's going to gather his people and the tares are going into the lake of fire. Now, as far as the Gentiles, who's going to be outside that kingdom? I'm telling you, I'm leaning one direction with that, but I'm not going to put my mouth on that yet. But I'm 100% sure. 10 seconds. But I'm pretty sure I know who those Gentiles outside of the kingdom are. Okay? Remember, all Israel is not of Israel. You're going to find out, family, and let me just close up my chat line. You're going to find out that in order to figure out Revelations, don't go looking nowhere else. Read what the prophets said. It's all about us. Read what we did. Understand Mystery Babylon. Understand who that whorish woman that was sitting on the beast was with a cup in her hand. Understand the mark of the beast. It's all spiritual. Understand that mark of the beast, it's really the same thing as Yahuwah's mark that we read about in the Torah. We're going to take you there. But what's important is you're going to understand for our people. I keep telling y'all, don't look at the other nations. Don't look at them. Even if we want to pick on the other nations, we really can't pick on them when you really understand what's going on in Scripture. When we go back to Jeremiah, it was told to our people, you will obey. You are going to go into captivity. This is your chastisement for what you did wrong. So he changed the hearts of certain people in Scripture and put them on us. He removed his hand so that they can come and do what they did to us. But he told us to go in captivity, which is your wilderness. It's your time to get it right. This is acceptable to the Father. Not to say it's going to be easy, but this is acceptable. You are taking the punishment. You are obeying. But if you try to flee, no, that's not good. We're in this last captivity because we know we are in the kingdom of Edom, Rome, or the white man. This is that last kingdom. That's really all you got to know about them white people. The white man did what he was supposed to do. He couldn't have done it if the Father didn't allow him to do it. Right now is a blessing because you are still here. He didn't get rid of us altogether. And why does he say that he poured out his chastisement a little bit at a time on his people? He corrected us with his chastisement a little bit at a time. It says in the word that if he had to do to us like he would do to the other nations, we'd be gone. There'd be no more us. Think about those words when you're trying to figure out the end times. When we finish reading Romans 11, you'll get more. In Romans 9, you're going to get way more. See, there was a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor. Both were for the use of the Father. Okay? Let me just go there. I want to go there because I'm saying it and I'm probably confusing you, but if I go there, and I hadn't planned on even going this route today, but we need to go there. Listen what the Father says, because some people don't get it about the other nations. I keep telling y'all, y'all better go find out what them other nations are. And just because it says that the male and the female in Genesis day six, it was good for the purpose to be used by our Father. Just like Pharaoh, when he hardened his heart and softened his heart, it was for a purpose and it was good. And let me show you. Let me get there. When you go to Romans chapter 9, let's go to Romans chapter 9 for a second, family. Paul is talking to the Hebrew Israelites, and he wants to explain to them something. He says, I'm going to pick up at verse 4. He said, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants? Because it was more than one covenant, both the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of our Father Yahuwah and the promises. Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Yahushua came, because he came from the tribe of Judah, through the flesh of his father and mother. But the Spirit came from our Father. So he says, this Yahushua right here, this concerning the flesh, Yahushua came, who is over all. Because there's only one mediator between the Father and his people. That's 1 Corinthians 11:3. But the ones of the scribes and the Pharisees will tell you there's four. The Father said, they changed my word. They don't tell the truth. That's not what I said. My word says there's only three powers of authority. But the traditions of men are the ones who have listened to the lying scribes and Pharisees believe there's four. So he says, who is over all? Yahuwah blessed forever. Hallelujah. Verse 6, not as though the word of Yahuwah had taken none effect. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You're hearing about the remnant. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of our father, but the children promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. And that seed is talking about the Spirit, by the way. It says, for this is the word of the promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of our Father, according to the election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Our Father called us. You didn't have to do nothing. It wasn't work. You didn't have to go say, okay, I'm going to please you the best. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You were given a gift. You were called. It says, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Because Esau, there was a purpose for Esau. There was a purpose for Ishmael. There was a purpose for Ham. There was a purpose for the Moabites, for the Canaanites, the Jebusites. He says, what shall we talking about the Hebrews. What should we say then? Many in the churches who have learned the lie that everybody won, we got to love each other. When they're killing us off, we got to pray for them, because the Bible says pray for your enemy. They don't know the truth. So it says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with our Father? Uh-uh, Yahuwah forbid. For he said unto Moses, check it out, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Because he's doing and giving that to his people, that compassion, that mercy. It says, so then it is not of him that willeth. You can't will it. You can't run crap. You ain't got no, it's not about you. Our Father's the only one who can do the judgments. Our Father's the only righteous one. So it says, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. Not like you got the government and system running everything. It ain't about them either. It ain't about a man who tell you that this woman got to come to him. It ain't about him. He said, but of Yahuwah that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose, here's your purpose, have I raised thee up. Speaking about Ham's lineage, this Pharaoh. He says, I have raised thee up that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Because his people, we were Gentiles before we went into Egypt. You got to understand what took place at the Tower of Babel when we were scattered. Why is it that you can go to Abraham, his father was worshiping idols? You go to Rebecca's brother, Laban, he was worshiping idols. This was way before we went into Egypt. So it says that the Father used Pharaoh. He had a purpose. For the same purpose have I raised the Pharaoh up, that I might show my power in him, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So my people know the truth. Therefore, because we were worshiping other gods and deities, remember? It says, therefore, hath he had mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he harden it. Okay, and that was Pharaoh. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth ye yet find fault? If you are using these people for your purpose, then why are you finding fault? That's what the people are saying, like today. You tell them, that salvation and all that, that's not meant for anybody else but Israel. The ones in Christianity would say something like, well, if you made them do this to us because I'm reading the word, why are you finding fault with them, Father? Here's what he says. For who hath resisted our Father's will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against me? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump? These are two brothers, Esau and Jacob, Abel and Cain, Ishmael and Isaac, of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. What if Yahuwah, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction? Where do you think the serpent seed going to go if their father's the devil? And they're teaching our people and leading our people astray. One vessel and our bodies are nothing but vessels. Get to the real. He's telling you something. What he's telling us, we can look in 2014 and see, I can see people saying that. Because if you have been deceived, when our father tells you in Judges chapter 2, I'm leaving them hybrids, some nations, some giants. They're going to deceive you. I'm even right there to prove you. I'm going to see if you're going to hearken to me or to them. I'm going to see if you're going to read my word when he wakes you up. Because at that time, he was talking about how you're going to live amongst them. That was in the book of Judges. Well, right now, they're still here. He ain't got rid of them yet. But the point is, the word tells us, this is our Father's word. He says, study, show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word, precept upon precept. My word not changing, and there ain't nothing new underneath the sun. What you're seeing today, that was of old time. Now, I did this to Pharaoh to bring my people out, to show them my might by putting the plagues and letting the people see. When I put the plagues out, It didn't come near to the Hebrews. They were living right in the midst of them Egyptians, but it missed every Hebrew house. When I parted the sea, I let you walk over dry land. But when the enemy came, I devoured him in the water. When the children of Israel were in Babylon, and they were making up these laws like they make up today against us, against the flesh, so that we can't worship our Father properly and things like that. Well, the children of Israel would worship our Father. They loved the Father more than the created, or the creature, I should call it. And they did according to the Father. And you notice that when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego went into that fiery furnace that was heated up, what, 3 to 8 times higher than normal, that they were able to walk through that fire, come out of that fire, their hair, their clothes, there was no singe of their hair, there was no smell of their clothes. It was like they just walked through a nice breezy day and came out feeling fine. When they put Daniel in the lion's den, they fed him to some hungry lions. But the angel of the Most High was sent there to protect Daniel. And they shut the lion's mouth. Now, today, if you throw a Gentile, and I'm talking about a Goyim Gentile with some lions, they're going to eat them up. But the Father is there to make a way where there's no way. But when you got the lion scribes and Pharisees, who when the Father sent his only begotten Son to give us a way back to our Father, and they take the word, they pervert the word, they keep you from the truth. They're making you more of children of the devil than themselves. They're giving you the old covenant, not accepting the new covenant today. In the times of Yahushua and the apostles, that's what they were doing. Because you believe you got to run. You got to get guns. You got to do this. You got to do, look, it's grace given to you now. Supposed to be doing with that grace? Well, you're supposed to be doing well where you're at, seeking the Father, and it warns in Jeremiah, watching out for those lying scribes and Pharisees, because it's warned throughout the entire book. It's a spiritual thing now. Yahushua brought life to the new covenant. It's no more about works. No more about works. It says, 22, what if you who are willing to show his wrath and to make his power known endured with much long suffering the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction? Fitted to destruction. He endures a long time, but it's for the chastisement of his people so that now an ox can know his owner, an ass can know his master's crib, but in my children Israel will know that I am their father. No weapon formed against thee, his children, will prosper. I'm your father. No weapon. No weapon of mass destruction. The chains, just like Peter, the chains and the jail cell can't hold his people. They can put you down in the center of the earth. The Father is able to get you out of there. And some people worry about the little water and the backpacks and all this stuff and running. Because they will tell you, I'm spiritual, I have faith on the Father, but yet they tell you to go get a backpack, stockpile water, do this and that when the time comes. Because, see, the Father can't help you, basically, is what they're saying. They're telling you the Father can help you, but they're showing you acts by doing works that the Father is not there. Yahushua never died, okay, and resurrected. That never really happened because their actions of what they're telling you to do pervert the truth of the Father's word. You ain't got to do a damnedy, not a doggone thing, but seek our Father's face and come out of the confusion, wherever you may be. That's Babylon, confusion. You ain't, America's not Babylon. Our people were scattered all over. He wants his children back that were scattered. Yahushua said, I'm not going to lose not one that you gave me, Father, not one. All Israel will be saved, but all Israel's not of Israel. All Israel's not of Israel. Don't, the Father said, I didn't give you fear. Somebody's giving you fear. I'm giving you the signs to know the same descendants of lying teachers and lawgivers that took place during the time of Yahushua as well as with the prophets in the Old Covenant. if they're not giving you Yahushua, the new covenant, which is life, they're putting the burdens on you, which is death, according to our Father. Works is dead. The works that we do is not the works they're talking about in the old covenant. We're giving brotherly love. That's really not a work. Not really. I mean, it is a work, but it's not. The works they're talking about is all the things that the Hebrews had to do, the sin offerings, or this, or that, or this, you know, because you can read about it. You go to Old Covenant, there's a lot to say about it. And it was very, very meticulous, everything. That we have no more to do. Because now it's not of works. The Father has given us grace. We still keep the Shabbat, and what did the Father tell us in the New Covenant? You're going to hear about the first 10 commandments, okay? But he says out of the two, which is the most powerful? That was asked to Yahushua. He told them, put the Father first in your life. Love the Father with all your heart, mind, and spirit. Worship him and only him. And then have brotherly love. These two are the whole of the law. Now, let me go somewhere. Let me just finish this. I want to finish it. Because some people need to hear this. Some people don't know. It says, what if you who are willing to show his wrath and to make his power known endured with much long suffering the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy? Who do you think the vessel of mercy is, family? Those are his. Those are his. One vessel is for destruction, but there's another vessel there that is for the Father, and he will show mercy to that vessel, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he had called, not of the Hebrews or the, shall I say, not of the southern kingdom only, because this was Paul, but also of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the northern kingdom. That's all he's talking about. When you go to Revelations, you better figure out if he's talking about Israel, something that Israel did that caused us to be kicked out the land, that caused us to be taken in captivities, that we're still doing even today because we weren't ready when Yahushua came. What is it? Well, faith. Now for us, faith. Back then, most of those people either saw the miracles or they saw the miracles that the Father, the wonderful signs the Father did in Egypt, or they saw how the Father bought to fight their battles. They saw that. Or they saw how the Father interceded in their life more than we see what's today. Today we have the Word. We have the preserved Word. That's why we got to have the faith. They didn't even have faith back then. I mean, many of them saw the sea part, and they saw how the Father put plagues on Egypt, and then they went into the wilderness, and then, you know, as soon as Moses went up to get the law, they built a golden calf. Come on now. Y'all see what I'm saying? This is what happened. So now we in a time when we have to live by faith, and that means when we read the Word, we got to know it's true. We have to have belief upon that our Father, regardless of what any certain man come in who creeps unaware tells you to backpack stock, keep this law, do this, worship on this moon. Look, we got to read and be set free by the Word and operate out the Spirit and have faith. Don't go a little to the right hand. Don't go a little to the left hand. The Father tells us in Revelation, if you're lukewarm, he said, I wish you were cold or hot because I'm going to spew you out my mouth. You got to choose a side. Who will ye worship? Anything that is not in this book, not in New Covenant, and not out the set-apart Spirit, is of this world, is of the flesh. It's a tradition of man. Is not of our Father. It's been something else. You may think you worship in our Father, but our Father let you know through just what we read. He left the Word preserved for us to read and understand what our people were doing. It might not be the exact same thing. Oh, they don't have this word in there. No, but it's the same thing. So when I bring up these familiar things in the scripture talking about this precept, that precept, showing you, letting you know, what do you think the people did? Well, they were worshiping a man, which was the creation or a creature more than our Father. They're doing that today. They're putting a man on a throne in Israel. This is what I see, and you see it too, and don't lie about it. they're making this man, his sperm, to be worshipped. Anytime you tell a woman that, hey, I got to have more kids, I got to be like King Solomon and Jacob and all that to rebuild the kingdom, and you're going to be my concubine now, and your job is to assist me. You weren't made for me, or I wasn't made for you, you was made for me. You're supposed to go on subjection. Well, that's what Paul was rebuking in the New Covenant. Yahushua was saying, when they said, when Yahushua was driving out them devils and demons, the scribes and the Pharisees, same ones who were against our Heavenly Father as well as Yahushua, they told him, oh, he's a devil. Yahushua said, how can Satan get rid of Satan? A nation divided or a house divided cannot stand. It was going to fall. So what do the scribes and Pharisees do? They put division. That's what the word Gentile means, division. It also means devil. But they divide the people because Yahushua said a house divided cannot stand. It's going to fall. Y'all don't see the signs of what's being done? Our Father talks about oneness. All in the Scripture talks about oneness. Even the two kingdoms that were split up, he talking about bringing them back together for oneness. He talking about the Most High, his people, and Yahushua oneness. But the scribes and the Pharisees are telling you three powers of authority. It's sticking a man in there somewhere. They've made the creation or the creature more than our Father. Because they're telling you, and I can give you an example if you like me to play it so you can hear it. Some of y'all think I'm lying about it, but that's what's being taught to our people. And it's very slight how some of them do it, but they're still doing it. If they take away Yahushua, which is the renewing of the mind, body, and spirit, that spiritual baptism, and tell you a fleshly baptism, they remove Yahushua. If they bring any of the Torah over the new covenant, they've dismissed Yahushua. They might say, yes, I believe. They give all kind of names now. But family, it's like your eyes and your ears deceive you if you can't understand that what they're telling you is total opposite of what's in the Word. And it's, they could tell you, I love the Father. He my brother, Yahushua, Yehoshua, whatever. But then they'll tell you how to prepare for the end time. And look, if you ain't got your stuff, don't think you're coming by me because you're supposed to pay to take my class and be prepared. If you come, I'm going to defend myself. Yeah, I'll kill you if I got to kill you. If you listen to some of these messages, when the gathering of Christ took off, they told the people, destruction's coming to America. It's Babylon. We got to flee. Now, if Judah's out here, specifically Judah, and it's told to us that we are in the land of our chastisement, we are under the curses, we would not have to lend other people. We'd be at the bottom of the barrel. Many of our people don't have money to flee. So what? Because we have no money, we got to be fitted for destruction now. Because they're telling people, you got to go here. Just like you should say. They'll say, lo, there is Christ. He said, don't go. You ain't got to go nowhere. You ain't got to physically with your hand do anything but seek our Father. That's what you got to do. So I'm trying to show you what the Father's Word says. I'm trying to pinpoint that our people were led astray by those scribes and Pharisees, those children of the devil, the lineage from Cain. They got them here today because they are a generation of these things. And if it's in opposition to the truth that we can read what our Father says and give the spiritual understanding, if Paul was writing letters, he wasn't agreeing with this. He was rebuking it. See, you got to realize that in the end time, when they talk about that horse woman in Revelations, and I read to you guys and gave you an understanding of the virtuous woman being Israel. That's what we were supposed to be in, that kind of state. But no, we went from the old covenant in the book of Kings, you just went bucket wild, and now we were that daughter, that harlot, spoken in Revelations. That's what we are right now if we're not coming out of the Babel, of the confusion, that mystery Babylon. We got a mark on us. Cain had a mark too, but the mark that Cain had, you're going to find out it was his works. Hey, some of y'all may know this already. That's why I'm watching what I say. It was in his works. But we're going to read about it because I want y'all to see how with Yahushua, works basically is dead. The works of the old covenant. You ain't got to do none of that stuff no more. You ain't got to, no, but you got to keep the Shabbat. But the works of all the things we were doing, we ain't got to do all that. But I'm going to show you what got our people in trouble and what's going to get our people in trouble. That's what I want you to see. You're going to see that some of our people went the way of Cain, but they have a chance to repent. Come out from among her, my people. Be Kodesh, be separated. Seek the Father. I'm not going to say no more about that right now, family. I just want to share that with you. I want to read that to you because I brought it up and some people might not understand. But basically, that's all I had to say. Sister, I'm going to open you back up. You might have something else you need to say. We have a few more minutes. Sister, you want to say anything?
No, I'm just enjoying. I haven't been here in 3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you got a lot of catching up to do. Have you been catching our archives?
No, I just...
Okay, that's all right. We'll get you back into the Word. Sometime, you know... We're not pointing the finger at nobody because I know a lot of times we just don't have time, but we got to make time. And what we need to do, we don't look at what we did wrong so much, but we ask the Father to renew our mind, our body, and our set of our spirit, and we get right back where we left off at. And that's not a problem. Always keep your space. That's all it is. You know, don't think when I point y'all and say, hey, have you done this? Don't lie to me because they ain't gonna, it's not going to do any better or any worse. I just want to make sure everybody following it because I'm going to keep leading y'all to the Word. I'm going to lead you where you need to be. And I know many people at home probably doing the same thing you're doing, sister, or have done. So I ask everybody with this series, make sure you follow them in order because we're going to hit on a lot of things, and it's going to bring you to the understanding when we talk about Cain. I'm going to refer you back. And when we go to Revelations, I'm going to refer you back to what we've already talked about. So if when I start talking, people not getting it, I'm going to refer them back to the first episode. You know, that way I can keep moving because there's so much scripture. And the word has been perverted. I have to go over the scripture. The Father tells us to. I'm supposed to read his word, not mine, but read his word, and then give the precepts for the people. Let them read. Ask the Father if you don't understand. But we're going to get to a lot of things that, you know, you have a lot of, I'm going to say this too. There's a lot of people out there, they'll tell you, they teach in love. They'll come out and say, I love you. That's why I do certain things. That's why I tell you these things. Well, I'm telling you now, what they're teaching you is not love. Uh-uh. If they're not taking it spiritual, if they're putting any division in the people, if they're trying to make you do work, I go to some of the lessons and it's like, I don't hear the joy of our Father. I hear how they tell the people they're no gooders. We know we were no gooders, but the Father just says, come out from the Babel. Come and worship me. Know that I'm your Father. You know, seek me while you still can. But you ain't got to do no hard labor like these people telling you. No, it's not about that. Seek me, I will protect you. You got no, when you got me, you ain't got to worry about nothing. When you, even while you're in the flesh. You ain't got to worry about money and this. You really don't, family. When King Solomon asked the Father, he said, I want wisdom. The Father gave him wisdom, an abundance of it. He was the wisest man. But he also provided for his other needs. He gave him riches of the flesh. Every need that you have will be provided by the Father if you seek him out and trust him. Have faith on him. Operate out the spirit. You're his. Don't let this world overflow you. You know, don't let what's, look, family, trust me. I'm going through it myself. I don't worry like I used to worry. And nobody can do nothing against me. I'm noticing it. I just keep praising the Father. And I read his word and how he's going to take good care of me and how he want me to seek him out. And praise him, give him spiritual thanksgiving. And I sing to him, and I just love it. I praise him. And then, like last night, he woke me up, gave me more information. Scriptures, precepts. And I wake up, I'd be like, Father, thank you. You know, it was a refreshing sleep. I got the understanding. When I get ready to go to fix the lesson, boom, it's there. It don't take me a lot of time to get it, family, but to write the notes, to make sure that I post information, which is pure hell on the internet for me, that's what takes the time. But as far as me getting the word, oh, no, I got it quick. I don't really have to look up the scriptures because I already know they're in there. But because I got to tell you where they are, because you were supposed to study and show yourself, I got to give you the scripture. But I know those scriptures are in there. That's what takes my time. And that's work for me. But whose work am I doing? I'm not doing work to displease the Father. I'm doing our Father's will. There's a difference. Sister, anything else?
No.
What did you say, no or yes? I can't hear you.
I said no.
Okay. It looked like nobody else wanted to say anything. I really wish y'all would start calling in just put up your hand 1 second and say, you know, either I got some about the lesson or, you know, I'm a little lost at this. Because really, I'm working by blind sight right now, and I don't know if I'm saying it in a way that you understand. Okay, somebody has raised their hand because I got to get feedback. Y'all going to start giving me some feedback, please. Okay, shalom, area code 614.
Hi, Sister Georgia.
Hi, who's this?
Sister Hadassah.
Hi, sister. How are you doing?
I'm good. I've been listening to the word since I was at my other job. And, oh, my goodness, just amazing how the Father is revealing these things to us through reading. People don't read. I tell my children, reading is going to save your life one day. If you don't read this book, they can tell you anything. You've got to read it.
That's right.
I just want to let you know I'm listening, and it's wonderful. I'm looking forward to the series because I know the Father's going to give you just some awesome words to put out there for that understanding. Nobody is teaching understanding. Nobody's teaching love. Nobody's teaching the fruits of the Spirit, how you can tell what people are actually, who they are. And I'm so glad you brought that out, that Cain's mark was his work. That just did it for me.
When I get ready to go, we're going to go back to Genesis. Now, I've spoken on Genesis quite a bit. And
mm-hmm.
I spoke on Genesis to allow people to understand that there, okay, was two children born, but one was not of our father. Yes, the parents, just like Joseph and Mary, bodies, vessels were formed, but who put the spirit in them bodies? You know, that's what people
right.
had to get out of there. So I taught it on that line. Now I'm going to teach when we go back to Genesis, and we're going to do this probably in a few shows to come, but I'm going to teach what was it that he did that was displeasing to our father, and what was put upon him? What do we see throughout the entire scripture? What is that mark that is spoken of in Revelations? Is there a mark or a seal that our father speaks of for his children? Because, see, we're only talking about two sets of people in this end time in Revelation, children of the devil, the wicked ones, and the children who are sealed the Most High, the spiritual ones, children of the flesh, children of the spirit. All the other nations, all the Goyim, they still fall in line with angels, with not of our father. They don't have the spirit, just as the serpent seed. So we're only talking about the father's children, which are the ones with the spirit, the ones who were sent from above, predestination. Everybody need to go back and make sure you hear that show. Okay, that was an excellent lesson given by our brother Tiberius and our sister. So listen, when we get ready to hit this, you will understand that mark, because that mark's important. For a while there, you know, we're guessing. Well, maybe it was leprosy because, you know, we know the mark that the Father would give the people. He would put, if they were sitting, he put leprosy. No, it's not leprosy. That's not the mark. And the mark is not a barcode. It all had to do with what Cain did. And in the end time, those who have learned under the lineage of Cain, they're doing it. And mm-hmm. if you don't have the mark of our father, you got another mark. There's only two marks. You either for or against. That's why some people are not going to realize what's going on, but it tells us in the word, in the New Covenant, in the end times, you will have people, these are Hebrews, coming up to Yahushua and saying, Yahushua, Yahushua, haven't I done this in your name? He going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. That's a scary thing, because that tells us that these people really believe that they are doing of our father, just like the children of Israel when we were back in the day, and I'm talking about during the Book of Kings, that when Jeroboam made the two golden calves, there was always some good ones in the bunch, but they saw it, they didn't know, or if they didn't, I don't want to say they didn't know. What I will say is because the father says they knew. So I will say that they chose to do this because, well, I'm in this land, this is our king, this is our ruler, I'm going to put this ruler over my father. That's what they're doing today. Because prescribed, we had the word given to us. We were reading the word for the Shabbats and everything else. Our people knew. But some followed the creation more than the creator. Some will believe the traditions of men that tell you, you got to wear dress. Brother, you got to have a long, bushy beard. Brother, you got to do this. Sister, you got to do this. And these are nothing but traditions. We have to gather, and the moon says, this is the day we're going to celebrate this feast day. But we've been reading all throughout the scriptures. The Father said, what you doing calling these solemn meetings and these assemblies? He said, I can't away with. He didn't want none of that. So in New Covenant, he tells us there's no more of the works. It's by grace now. But if you're given the grace, why are you still trying to do a work? I didn't even get to read that part yet. We're going to get to it next lesson. The works, family, is what gets you in trouble. That's what Cain was doing. I'm a jump ahead of myself and just tell you that much. That's why I want to go over this. I'm taking you step by step by step so that we've read it here. I can refer you back to, you remember we read this in the book of Romans? He said the law is spiritual. The old law, which was against our flesh, brought death. But the new covenant, the law fulfilled, has Yahushua and it brings life. So the scribes and the Pharisees sitting in Moses' seat, why do you think it tells us that the angel was fighting for the body of Moses? Angel was fighting for the body of Moses. Everybody tried to get and take over what Moses was doing, the children of Korah. It says they've gone into the way of Cain, or they've gone into the way, well, how is it? I forgot how it's worded, but it says something about Kor. Kor is Korah. Go back to the book of Numbers and understand what the children of Korah did. Everybody was trying to get to that law-giving seat. And everybody who was trying to take over that law-giving seat was of the serpent seed. By the time you get to the new covenant, Yahushua says, the scribes and the Pharisees are sitting in Moses' seat. You know, that's all I'm going to go. I'm not going to go any further because, you know, I'll keep you all in here all night until tomorrow. But I don't want to do that. But
you got some things going in my mind thinking about, you know, what Cain did, and I kind of have an idea what he did. But I'm going to read and get better understanding of it.
Yeah, we will go over it. Trust me, we will. I'm taking my time with this, not because I like to hear myself talk, but I already know if I don't go over this one part, later you won't get it. Somebody going to tell you, no, 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 see what this means is. No, that ain't what that's talking about. I have within my show notes, and y'all probably won't get it for a long time, so I'll tell you. It's by Israelite Heritage. They did the grafting in. Good lesson, but what they told you was the works that was being spoken of was the sacrifice law. So if they tell you that, then that means that everything else, the worshiping that they're doing today, because they all do it, That was all right. Just the sacrifice of the lamb, that's done away with. The sin offering, rather. You know, no, that's not what he's talking about. Because you're not understanding. They will also tell you the daughter of Zion is, you know, a woman and some other lies. But no, it was the works that we were doing. It encompassed everything that we did. We tried to take righteousness in our own hand. We made up all the righteousness, but it wasn't of our Father. It wasn't pleasing to our Father. He took that away, bought it spiritual. That way we have the opportunity now to return to him, come out of the wickedness, and our flesh can't sin. You know what I'm saying? And that's not to say anybody who is seeking the Father will never sin, but if you do sin, instantly, not once a year, but instantly, you repent from your sin and come out from among it, the babble, the confusion, be kodesh and separate, and then seek the Father again instantly. So, you know, we got to get to this because this is what the end times is talking about. This is what that woman, that Babylon, this is what all this is about, family. So I want to take my time and go through it. That's the best way. I'm not going to say no more about it. Sister, anything else you want to add?
No, it's been a good lesson, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
All right, sister. Hey, well, I thank you for calling in. I pray more of our family will do the same thing. And as always, family, if you feel like you're being fed, which I know you're being fed, but if you feel like you're being fed, if the Most High is speaking to you, go over and, you know, between you and the Father, give a love offering. Give a free will offering so that we can keep the word being spoken, so that we can reach the rest of the scattered sheep. Because we're supposed to reach them. It's not just my job to do it. It's all our jobs. Okay? So if you feel that you're being fed, I pray, and you want us to finish with all this series. It's going to be a lengthy one, as well as we got White History Month coming up. So we need your love offerings, okay, to keep the word going, to do our Father's work. Because the truth of our Father's word, they got famines going on right now. I don't know if y'all noticed, but not too many people are speaking spiritual. Many people say love, but they don't teach love. Many people say, I have faith, but they teach fear, run away, do all these things. There's a famine in the land, not of bread and water. So, hey, if you hear the Father when we read, if you understand him, if you are having an open communication with the Father, head over to our PayPal, give a love offering, okay? You don't have to be a family member to do that, by the way. But, you know, I'm just telling y'all. I'm not trying to force y'all because that's something I'm not supposed to really have to remind you guys to do. But it seems like nobody knows that they're supposed to. So I'm telling you, it's in the Word. We're going to read it. All right, sister, thank you for helping me out by giving me your words of encouragement as well as letting the family know what you got out the lesson. And I appreciate that. I really do. I thank the Father for you.
Oh, I think I'm telling you, you have explained things that have never been explained, and it's kind of pushed me to study myself so that I get the understanding. So when I'm talking to my son, my daughters, I know that this is what the word says. You're not going to be fed anything other than his uncut word.
Well, thank you, sister, because somebody needs to hear that testimony. I'm certain someone needs to hear it. I'm going to play for you guys a song, sister, and I'm going to end it up with a song, and then we will have our Shabbat show Saturday at 10 p.m. I pray everyone makes it. If you can't make it, it's all right. Just make sure that throughout the week you listen and keep caught up, okay? Because we're going to be bringing forth new information. We're not going to keep talking about the same thing, and we're going forward with this lesson, okay? The serpent seed, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. You got to know that, because that's keeping you from being spiritual. It's keeping you from our Father. It's keeping you from the life in the new covenant. So I pray everybody makes it out. With that said, family, shalom.
Marvelous light. Oh, yeah. And if you could relate to that, this song's for you.
Every time I think about all he's done, how he changed my life and made it so much better, I'm just in awe. It's so amazing.
In the last days, Israel shall rise again as a mighty nation. Gentile peoples shall serve her. Zion shall be established. Finally, they shall dwell in celestial splendor. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, How hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gate shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Those nations shall be utterly wasted. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, Thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, Bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, The Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.